I'm in a long-term relationship with someone I love. We're not fighting, nothing dramatic is wrong, but I'm feeling lonely most of the time. I don't know how to talk about it without making them feel bad. Is this normal? Am I the problem? If you have ever felt this way, then this episode is for you. I'm Marie Vakakis, accredited mental health social worker and couples therapist. And welcome to this week's episode of This Complex Life. That's the question I am answering today. And if you have a question that you want to ask, reach out. I would love to hear from you. This is a question that I get asked in a number of ways in my consulting room. And sometimes it's when an individual is coming to therapy and they're trying to work through some of these feelings in a relationship. And sometimes it's when a couple comes in together. And today I'm going to answer it for you. So what do we do if we are in a relationship and we're feeling lonely? This is a question that comes around a lot in my therapist room. And people come to me to talk about this in individual sessions. They might come to look at how their past childhood experiences or how they showed up in other relationships might be contributing to feeling lonely. Some come to talk about their attachment style. I know that's been increasingly there's more awareness about attachment style. So people want to come in and understand this and talk about it. And some couples come in together, both recognizing that somehow we've drifted apart. And in previous episodes, I've talked about drifting apart in a relationship. And there's some things in that that fits in with this listener question. But it's also a really unique perspective, I think, when you're working with both individuals and couples, to see some of these patterns that emerge over time. And the advice or the way I would have handled this before I became a couples therapist is very different to what I would say or what I'm going to talk about today as a couples therapist with my couples therapy hat on as well. And so the first thing I want to say is it's hard to say you're not the problem or your partner is the problem. Sometimes it's not one big thing. And these moments slowly can build up over time. And I want to talk about that in a little bit more detail in a moment. But I want to normalize that it's okay to feel that way. It's okay to name that loneliness. And I think that's the first step in really starting to figure out what you need to do or what you want more of. And understanding it, you know, if we look at a feelings wheel, I often use emotions and feelings wheels in my work with not just children, but with everybody. We can say sad, and that might be sufficient. But if we really want to hone in and think, what's underneath that? Is that lonely? Is it maybe resentful? Is there unappreciation? Like, the more granular, the more detailed we can be around understanding that emotion, then it starts to give us a clue about what might be missing. And that could be missing in the relationship. It could be missing in our lives in general. And sometimes we can feel lonely in a crowd. It's not just the physical presence of people. It's a deeper thing. And understanding that is a part of this, is what does that look like for you? I've worked with people who have children at home and a loving, caring partner, and they say they feel lonely, and that loneliness is not about company. It's around being seen and being understood and having a level of intimacy, not sexual, but a level of connection and conversation that might be missing, especially when there's been a transition to parenthood and they are struggling to even recognize who they are now and how that's different to who they were, and wanting that to be updated with their partner. And the Gottman talk about love maps, and I really like that idea of love maps. It's like knowing your partner, knowing what's new for them. And you can have been together for 20, 30, 40, 50 years and still find something new about your partner to learn. And that level of curiosity is sometimes missing in some people's relationships. Or they are so close, they might be curious or think they're being curious, but it might land or might be received as criticism. And so how we check in with each other and we talk about that is important. The other thing I want to normalize is you're not ungrateful for feeling lonely. You're allowed to feel lonely. And I want to give you some tools and tips on things that you might try or things you might want to do to overcome that in the relationship, or ways to start working on it together. And so that's real. The feeling of being lonely in the presence of someone is deeply real, and it's real and it's deeply painful. I know that I have felt that way in the past, where I can be sitting there with someone. It doesn't always have to be a partner. It can be a friend or a family member. And you think, I know that you've got my back. I know that you'll show up for me, but I don't feel like you know me at all. And I think that's what some people are really missing, is feeling known and feeling seen in a way that is more intimate than they might have in other relationships. And so what is loneliness? We do talk about loneliness. It's more and more common. There's been conversation about loneliness epidemic, and on some level I think that is really true. There are some people who might have a lot of acquaintances or online connections and have nobody that can water their plants when they go away. Nobody that can pick up a script from the chemist when they're too sick to go outside, that they can have these connections that keep them occupied and entertained and can be quite fun and engaging and still feel really lonely. And there are some people who have not, don't even have that either. They don't have online communities or other ways that they connect with people. They've lost this idea of a central gathering place that might have been served by things like a faith-based place, like a church or mosque or synagogue or temple or something that someone goes, or a sports club, or maybe when you're in school, you're just kind of forced to hang around people and be around people all day. So someone noticed if you weren't around. And maybe your workplace is that for you. But if you don't have that and you don't have that community or that place you go, I can see why there'd be a loneliness. So I think there is a general sense of loneliness out there. And that comes into our relationships as well. Maybe we do put some extra expectation on our partner to provide a level of connection that we might have gotten from other places. So that's a bit to recognize as well, is to look at how much are we expecting from our partner, what's really happening, and start to be curious about that. And when it's the way I'm understanding this question, it's about feeling unseen by someone who's physically present. And I think that's where it can cause a lot of anguish for someone when they're saying, my partner's great, they show up for me, they care, they love me, they do all of these things, and I feel lonely. And so that's telling me that there's an emotional need, maybe a psychological need, a connection need, something that isn't being met. And often when people tell me this, they're deeply not shameful, but they're a little bit uncertain about even saying it out loud, because it's like they're saying their partner's a bad partner. And so when they're sharing this, it's coming with a lot of pain and also some tentativeness, that they don't want to make their partner seem like the bad one, or they don't want to seem ungrateful, but they can't help express this emotion that they're feeling lonely. And being lonely is different from being alone. You can be alone and feel content. You can be in a crowd and feel lonely. They're different things. Often being lonely is a lot more painful. This metaphor might fall flat, but let's see how it goes. But it could be like a headache. Like sometimes the headache itself isn't the problem. It's like a symptom of something else. Maybe we're dehydrated. Maybe we've been on our laptop too long. We've got a twinge in our neck. It could be some associated with some hormone fluctuations. Like there's something else happening, but the headache is the symptom that we see. It could be a sign that something else needs more attention. And loneliness can be a little bit like that. It can be like the headache of the relationship. It's like, I can feel this coming and I need to treat it, but I need to also figure out what's the underlying cause. What is happening here? Do I need something? Is something missing? And often, I mean, it's not uncommon in therapy, because if everyone had the answers, they wouldn't be coming to see me. But it's not uncommon that someone comes in and we're unpacking this together and they don't know. They don't really know about this, how to articulate it or what it might mean. And that's some of the work that we get to do. And it's a real privilege to be alongside that as someone tries to grapple with this idea of loneliness and what's missing for them in their life or in their relationship, or maybe how the relationship changed over time and when it felt great, what was happening, how is that different now? And that can be some of the things that get you thinking about what you might be looking for, especially if it was there once and slowly something's changed and you've woken up one day and thought, oh, I'm feeling lonely. If you know that you had a great reference point, that's a key bit there. That's a key piece of information of something we can work towards. And we know we might be able to look at that and saying, what are the ingredients that made that bit work at that part of the relationship? And even though I did use the phrase, you know, to say you just wake up one day and feel lonely, it actually doesn't happen that way. In my experience, it's not something that happens overnight. Maybe just the recognition of it, like being able to put words to that, might come to you all of a sudden, or maybe after listening to this this episode. But it usually happens slowly. It's kind of like ice melting. It slowly just sort of melts over time. And there might be these little moments of what we call turning away in Gottman language, around you might make a bid for connection, you might point something out or try to talk to your partner about something, and they might turn away. Maybe not out of anger or hostility. It could be out of being busy or preoccupied or being on their phone or having a lot going on. And slowly, when we have multiple instances of someone turning away, that can leave us feeling unimportant, unacknowledged. We don't get to share what we wanted to share. So that could be a piece there. And that happens slowly, slowly over time. And it's a real challenge for some people, because if you're busy and you've got kids and dogs and cats and aged parents and work and all of this stuff happening, it can feel like a lot of pressure to try and be available all the time for your partner. And that's all true. You can have all of those things going on. And even though you might not have the intention to hurt your partner, it still could be hurting them. And I think that's a really difficult thing for some people to recognize, that the circumstances are valid. They might be completely valid, that you've got all of these things happening and they still have an impact on your partner. And so looking at those moments of turning towards and turning away and starting to see if that's contributing to that loneliness could be a really great place to start. And I'll put a link to that episode for you to check out when you want to. How I see this usually develop is the small things, and sometimes it's in someone's conflict style. So one of the ways that this can emerge is how we handle conflict. And sometimes when we feel like we can't get our point across and we're not able to be really heard or understood, we might start to avoid any situation that could create conflict. And if you want to learn more about conflict, I do have my free conflict workbook that you can download. There'll be a link to that in the show notes. And what this looks like is maybe you bring up with your partner that you had a crappy day and you walk in the house, you're like, oh, I've just had the worst day. And you start trying to tell them about maybe a colleague that was being a little bit difficult. Maybe your boss had a lot of expectations and they jump in to try and fix it and problem solve. Or they tell you that, well, you didn't handle this right last time, so what you should have done was X, Y, Z. And they start interjecting and offering advice. Most of the time, we don't want advice. We don't want our problems to be fixed. And if I had a dollar for every time I have told someone about this, I would retire. It'd be great. But we don't want our problems fixed. We want to be empathized with and validated. And so if someone's jumping in to fix it, what it tells us is you can't handle me feeling this way. I can't come to you with my concerns. You don't understand. And it's a bit easier when you see this fight between parents and a teenager, because a teenager will probably say in quite a emotive way, you're just not listening to me, you don't understand, or what would you know, you're not a teenager anymore. And they'll point it out. In a couple though, that's not as clear for some people. They slowly just start sharing less and they start turning away from their partner. So they might be really stressed about something at work and weigh up. Consciously, sometimes, or even unconsciously, do I bother saying something? Because when I've tried in the past, they haven't supported me the way that I wanted. And so what's the point? Or they mention something and they might say, stop, you know, trying to fix it. I just want you to listen. And their partner, instead of saying, oh, I'm sorry, I got excited, I wanted to help, please continue, their partner gets defensive. And then we have one of those four horsemen emerge, which I've talked about in other episodes as well, where then that defensiveness then sparks the fight and the other person starts saying, well, you just don't get it. It's like, no, well, you're just trying to, why are you getting defensive and you're always criticizing me? And then there's a fight. And so if that becomes your pattern, that you're trying to share something and then the response you get's not great and you try to highlight that or share that and then it turns into a fight, well, they make sense that we avoid it. And so sometimes how we handle difficult situations or experiences, if there's no way to work through that and then there's no repair, we stop bringing those things up. And so we become a little bit more withdrawn. We might be a little bit smaller. we might keep to ourselves. And that contributes to that sense of loneliness, because if you're not sharing things with your partner, you're keeping it all to yourself, and that weighs on people. And so sometimes one partner can be completely blindsided by this. They might have no idea that their solutions and their offering advice is unhelpful, and they just think, cool, my partner's not coming to me with this anymore, with this problem anymore. I fixed it. Big tick for me. And so they sometimes have no idea. And I've seen this play out, unfortunately, way too many times with couples that I see, where one partner genuinely is baffled that their spouse or their partner feels this lonely in the relationship, because they have different, might have different needs, or different, they might need different things to feel nourished in the relationship. And so that's one of the patterns that I see contributes to this sense of loneliness, is how people handle conflict. So it's those small unmet needs accumulating, those small moments of connection that were missed, you know, those bids missed. You try to bring something up, you don't get the response you want. So you can start to see how slowly that ice is melting. And part of why this can be really hard for people to talk about is that they don't feel they have the right to talk about it, to feel this way. It doesn't feel like it's okay or permitted to have these emotions, to feel this way. Especially when you look at your partner and you're like, I like you. You're a really good human. We've been through so much together. And yet I don't feel known by you. That can be really hard to say. It can seem ungrateful. It can feel indulgent. It can feel maybe you don't deserve to feel that way. And that taps into a whole other thing around feeling that you deserve it. And for some people, depending on their relationship history or their family upbringing or their attachment style, they might not feel worthy of being truly seen. The desire is still there, but they don't feel they deserve it. And so they don't know how to ask for it. They don't know how to talk about it. And they accept not receiving it, even if they're with a partner who would be more than happy to find ways to make their partner feel connected to them. They don't know how to start that conversation. And so those sorts of dynamics can be really helped by engaging in some couples therapy, or even doing some DIY relationship work using some books and podcasts. And there's a lot that you can do, because you deserve to be happy and connected and feel supported and valued and seen, and to have a happy, healthy, thriving relationship. And if you've got traumatic life experiences that are impacting that, therapy can be really helpful. So something like EMDR therapy can be really helpful in processing memories or experiences from your past that leave you feeling unworthy or not enough or undeserving. And so that's a whole other area of work that you can explore, and I encourage you to seek professional help in your area. So why is this so hard to name? I'm going to go back to this. You might feel guilty because your partner hasn't done anything obvious. You might be trying to explain this to a friend or a therapist and be like, yeah, I tried to tell them about my work day and they offered a solution. Like, that's really hard to articulate. It's hard to get that message across of why that was so hurtful, of why that felt like it didn't quite hit the mark, of why that doesn't feel like you're being seen or heard. And it's each moment on its own doesn't look significant enough to warrant that. It's that slow bit over time, moments of misattunement and misconnection or conflict that slowly just erodes that connection a little bit. For some people, it erodes trust, and it can have a very kind of like rust, you know, it can like be like rust that kind of eats away at something and have a really damaging effect. And for other people, it just slowly melts, and it's very different depending on the relationship. So it can be hard to articulate, or it can be hard to feel warranted in those feelings. And there's a fear of hurting the other person. If you know they're really trying, or they're under the pump, or you've both been really stretched, or they're working really hard, it can be hard. It can be hard to say, I get you're really busy, and I know that you've got this project you're working on, or your parents are unwell, or we've got a sick little kid who always needs support, or you're gone back to uni. All of those things are totally valid, and the impact that that has on the other partner can still be one of loneliness. And I think that's really hard. A lot of us don't know how to sit with multiple things being true at once without getting defensive. That you can be really busy, your partner understand that those things need to happen, and the impact of that is still negative. They understand it, they're still supportive, and it hurts. And they might not be asking for any problem solving at that point. There's no, it might not be a critical conversation around you're doing X, Y, Z wrong. They are allowed to share that those things are all happening at once, that they can be fully supportive of something, understand it, and still feel lonely. And this might be, I mean, I can see how this would happen. I've been in a long distance relationship before, and that's where it plays a real part for me, is that was a choice we made. There were things that we understood. There was a time difference that was a real pain in the butt. And then there was, we had work. He had work. I had study. There was a lot going on for us. And it was still really lonely. It was still really hard to be so in love with someone and have such great connection and not be able to access them. And there's all that understanding doesn't take away from that feeling. And so we can sit with lots of things being true at once, naming it, and then your partner being able to sit with that and empathize and validate it does then create more opportunity to start to brainstorm what you might be able to do with that, what you can then do different. How can you start to feel more connection again? What does that look like? But that can't happen if that understanding bit's not there first. Here's where I want to go with you on this topic, because this conversation is worth having, and there is a way to have it without everything blowing up. So what you need to do first is name it for yourself. Name it clearly, understand it, what it means for you. And that might be coming to terms with, I feel lonely, I feel disconnected, unappreciated, unseen, rejected. Maybe it's one of those, maybe it's all of those, maybe it's a couple, and maybe there's some that I didn't mention. Sitting with and understanding your own emotional experience is going to be the number one thing I want you to do. And then having the conversation with your partner. And this is sharing how you feel without describing them. So this is not a, you're failing me, you're ignoring me, you don't care about me. That's describing the other person. When you're trying to have this conversation, I want you to describe only your own experience. It might start off by, I've been feeling something very difficult or uncomfortable, and I'd like to share it with you. Can we talk about it later tonight or on the weekend? There are some things I want to unpack or download with you. Can we talk about it? So giving them a chance to kind of get their head around that you want to have a conversation. Don't do this when you're both tired. I know for a lot of people, when they get to bed at the end of the day, that's when they might want to talk about it, because it could be the only chance you've really connected all day. But if you're tired and exhausted, and maybe one of you is a night person, one of you is a morning person, or you're still just decompressing from the day and you've done dinners and dishes and packed lunches for tomorrow and maybe done a load of laundry and all this stuff's going on, and then your partner wants to talk about what's missing for them in their relationship, it might not be setting it up for the best chance to have a good conversation. So we want to pick our timing right. And then when you choose to have that conversation, it's being very specific. And it could be warning your partner, look, I'm still figuring out the best way to articulate this. This is not exactly my first draft because I've been thinking about it. Bear with me while I get it out. I need you to listen and keep an open mind. And then it's, I've been feeling really disconnected and lonely. And some of that has to do with, we've been busy or with work or whatever, start sharing your feelings with them. And if you're the partner listening, don't jump in to try and fix it. Don't get defensive. Don't jump in with, well, you agreed that we could do this, or it was, your choice to go back and study, or, well, I'm doing everything I can. Are you saying it's not enough? Try and tame the instinct to try to defend and attack back. Be open-minded and be curious, because so many things can be true at once. You might have agreed to it and it still hurts. It might be completely reasonable that you have worked or you've studied or that of course, you don't have time when you have 2, 3, 4 kids, whatever's happening, and they still might feel lonely. So being aware of your own defensiveness, and if you're starting to get defensive, stop it. It's not helpful. It will derail the conversation. Calm yourself, take some deep breaths, and be curious. Things like, tell me more. How long have you been feeling like that? Has it always been like that? What was different when we first met? Thanking them for sharing, like, this must have been hard to share. I don't know what the solution is yet, but thank you for trusting me. This must have been really difficult. Give it some time, digest it, empathize with it, saying, it makes sense that you would feel lonely if we haven't spent that much time together, or we used to do a lot more. And yeah, I guess I miss that too. So we want to go in with empathy, curiosity, and validating their experience. And this might be part one of multiple conversations. You might need to revisit this a few times. And if you're having a great conversation, you don't know where to start, I have my relationship reset course, which you can do. There are some really great questions there around all these different topics around love and finances and intimacy and what you want to get out of your, you know, the next 12 months together, and a whole bunch of really great questions. So I'll pop a link to that in the show notes. If every time you try to raise it, it gets shut down, then I think that exacerbates the loneliness. So you might have an ideal conversation and it goes well and you feel more a bit relieved and connected. You think, okay, now we're onto something. But if that's not you, if this pattern has been going on for a long time and nothing has shifted, or if you feel unsafe bringing that into your relationship and talking about it, there's signals to get some outside support and not push harder on your own. Now, that outside support might be couples therapy, or it could be individual therapy where you might work with someone on how to navigate those conversations, maybe how to be more assertive or clear, or to say it in a way that doesn't come across as critical. Or as a couple, you might find that couples therapy can be so beneficial to help you communicate in a different way if you keep getting stuck in these loops over and over again. So if something DIY like my conflict workbook is helpful, and that's a free downloadable, or the relationship reset course, which is an on-demand course, if something like that is helpful, amazing. But if you need that extra support, there is no shame in going to see a couples therapist or a family therapist or someone that can help you navigate those conversations so that you can both have the relationship you want. Because if one person is unhappy, that's not good enough. That's not going to make it a thriving relationship. If one person's like, I'm cool, and the other one's like, I'm really lonely, this isn't working for me, it's just slowly, maybe by that point, it's more rapidly melting. And that can lead to a lot of flailing relationships or languishing relationships or the ending of relationships that for some people feels like it's come out of nowhere, and someone else is like, no, this has been happening for years. So if you're starting to recognize this and you are thinking, maybe it's now the time to talk about it with my partner, I wish you all the best. That sounds like a really hard place to be, but a very helpful conversation to have. Now, loneliness, I want to leave you with this point that loneliness in a relationship, it's information. It's not a verdict. It doesn't mean it's a huge red flag or things are super toxic. It's information. All of our emotions are signaling something to us. And if you're feeling lonely, maybe that is signaling to you there's something more that you need to do, or something that you need to rearrange, or conversations that might be missing. So it's not a verdict. It's not a death sentence. It's information, and it could be the start of some really great conversations with your partner that help you work through that feeling together. Okay, so it's telling you that something needs tending to, not that the relationship is over. So to the person who asked this question, and to anyone else thinking this quietly or not so quietly, you're not the problem and you're not alone in this. You're paying attention to the health of your relationship, and that matters, and that's super important. Loneliness in a relationship is information, not a verdict. It's telling you that there is something that you can do or that might need attention, and we can work with that. And don't forget, the relationship reset is built just for this. It is a bit of a booster, a bit of a kickstart into helping you have some of these conversations that you might not have had, and get you feeling like you're getting to know each other in ways that maybe you haven't known. And I can guarantee that if you did this course every single year, you would still learn something new about your partner, because every year you could ask the exact same question and get a new version of that response. So I highly recommend giving that a go. And if you've got a question that you want answered on This Complex Life through the Ask Marie segment, then please get in touch. I would love to hear from you. All the questions remain anonymous and it might feature on a future episode. Thanks for listening.